Tonight, the drama of Jesus' journey toward the cross continues. The story before us marks the end of Jesus' public ministry and at the same time begins Jesus' private ministry to his disciples. The story begins with an ordinary meal on an ordinary day in time, for it is not quite yet the Passover. The Monday-Thursday evening service that we are here now attending, I would like to invite you to think of as a gift. A gift from God for all of us. A ritual designed to place us into those last hours of Jesus' life. For he has chosen to spend that time with those he truly loves. Knowing full well everything there is to know about us, our lives, what is to come, and just how God will love us, you and me, to the very end. Tonight, Jesus is your host. You are received as a welcomed and loved guest into the heart of God. Let us pray. God of love, we are here. Help us to receive the gift of this precious night, your love. Guide us into your love, so that we too may love as you have first loved us, unconditionally. Lead us into loving participation and full transformation. Remind us, nothing can separate us from you. Amen. We are told that Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the very end. Tonight, our 21st century minds know what is coming. 3 days from now, we'll be in that room and they're eating our hearts out. We know what's coming. And so does Jesus. We know how it ends. Those around him didn't. But we are still asked to pause tonight and appreciate the gravity of what it means for God to take on human flesh and in the midst of betrayal and denial, take our humanness to the cross of crucifixion with him. We are told, Jesus knows everything. Knows that his hour to depart from this world had arrived, that he had loved his own to the end, and that now, finally, the devil had put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. The heart of God, the very enfleshed heart of God in Jesus, holds within him the unimaginable. Judas, who has traveled the last 3 years with him, has approached the chief priests and offers, "What will you give me if I betray him to you? What will you give me?" And on this night at the table, Jesus suddenly identifies Judas during that final meal when he responds to Simon Peter's utterance that he needs to be fully washed. Jesus declares, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, for he is entirely clean. And you, Peter, are clean, though not all of you are clean. On this night, at the table, Jesus knows everything, and he will remember. Judas may be the alone betrayer, but all his friends, his fishing buddies, his male disciples reclining for that ordinary meal will abandon him. Jesus knows that at the Mount of Olives, when Jesus will tell them that they all will become deserters, and once again, Peter will open his mouth and boldly declare, "They'll all become deserters because of you. I, Peter, will never desert you." On this night, at the table, Jesus knows everything. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter, James, and John will not even be able to stay awake to keep Jesus company in his distress. Of course, all the disciples will flee, and Peter too. When Jesus is arrested, he will flee. Like Judas, not one will be able to bear Jesus' fate. Our 21st century American minds have become so anesthetized to atrocities and violence that had we been there, most likely, we too would not have wanted to share or stay with Jesus. Fear flows from these disciples. They can't be associated, and beneath the surface, there's more than fear. There is confusion and questions, even doubts, of course. There is worry. What does the future hold? What does your future hold? What does it really all mean? Jesus knows. They can't bear to stay with him, no matter that he has loved them and will love them to the end. On this night, at the table, Jesus knows, and he will remember. One anonymous disciple will avert his fate in a different way. He will draw a short sword and cut off the ear of the soldier who has come to make the arrest, most likely as a person enslaved to a high priest. Like so many of us, this one demonstrates our impulsive courage, though short-lived. But this act of violence also betrays an aversion, a personal aversion, to stand our ground and endure the visible violence and arrest and suffering and death of a fellow human being. Mind you, also divine. On this night, at the table, Jesus knows. He knows it all. And he will remember. Peter will again, a second time, promise not to desert him, and yet Jesus knows that he won't stick around, follow through on his promises, and will leave him. He will abandon him to go and weep alone and feel self-pity. On this night, at this table, as they recline and eat, Jesus knows. And he remembers. And he sees their heart and ours. And like so many, we may be curious and ask, why would anyone do what Jesus did next, knowing what he knows? Well, I don't know about you, but you know what I know? Not one person in my 65 years young of life is truly capable of doing what Jesus does next. He remembers and does what we often forget and even refuse to do. He loves fully and unconditionally, knowing full well that it may not be received, it probably won't be understood, and he knows that you and I will still hold grudges, speak ill of our neighbors, betray each other, and never trust completely our lives into God's hands. But God knows. God knows that Jesus had a purpose to love unconditionally. For the last of us will be the first always in God's eyes. On that night at the table, the disciples like us couldn't completely understand. They didn't fully get it. Do we? To that point, are we willing to live from a place of love for our neighbor as Jesus commanded? As Jeffrey Brewster states, and I quote, "What could it mean that Jesus' betrayal and crucifixion, and as we all know, is a story of God's unrelenting passion for inclusion, regardless of what the power and principalities of this world say. God's unrelenting passion for inclusion. Jesus knows. Jesus remembers. And Jesus isn't just anyone. He is the God of love. He does not stand up at that table knowing what he knows and announcing that it is all a fraud or fake news. He doesn't say to them, I know everything and I have evidence to what you are doing. He chooses not to call out each of the players from the reclining seats. He loves them just as they are, even though he knows everything. On that night at the table, Jesus doesn't show them what they are, even though, according to John, Jesus knows what is in their hearts. Their betrayal is indeed exposed, but it is not a surprise to God. It is only us humans who are continually surprised by our own brokenness and the troubles it can lead to. As hard as we might try or want to be, we can't be Jesus. But we can try to open our hearts to the darkness that may be in us and let God's love transform us by becoming partners in forming a beloved community as Jesus intended. We can participate in love by trying to love. As hard as that is, we get to practice. On that night, at that table, Jesus knew everything. He knew everything that is of God, and that everything of God flows from love, not judgment. The hour has come. Let Jesus feed you at this table tonight. Remember, Jesus will love you and forgive you till the very end.